Well, last week, if you were here, I spoke about the fact that we have been called or chosen by God. Looked at a scripture in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, "To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia," and then I inserted what was really meant and would be meant for today in Michigan, Detroit, and the Downriver area, "who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ." And that's us. We're the ones that have been chosen. Jude 1:1 says, "To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ." That's us. Every one of us here have been called. Called by the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to enter into the service of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every single one of us have been called. We've been chosen. Back in the old days when I was growing up, you got called one time or called up into the service. In the military. You'd get your papers in the mail, and they would tell you what branch of the military you were going in, where and when you would report for this great new adventure that in those days not too many people wanted to go in because there was a war going on then. Now we have a volunteer army. Then it was called the draft. We haven't had it for quite a while. Last week we talked about the fact that since it was a new year, it's sort of a good time to look over, sort of look at our papers again. Just like if we had been called up and see, like, where are we at in our walk? What was the call on our life? What have we been called to do? Just like if we had been called in the military, what branch are we in? Where are we going? Where are we going to be training? All those kind of things. We want to make sure we're on the right path, the path that God has chosen for us. And we saw that God has determined when, where we will live, when we will live, where we will live. And we saw that He's also prepared certain good works for us to do. And that was in Acts 17:26 and Ephesians 2:10. Jeremiah 1:5, we saw it said that, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." So we see and we know for a fact that we have a purpose. God has a plan. You have a purpose for your life. Every one of us do. And we can only find our purpose as we answer the call to serve Jesus Christ, our commanding officer, our Lord, our Savior. Now I want to back up for a moment and look at a scripture, the first scripture that we looked at there in 1 Peter. And it says, "To God's elect, strangers in the world," and it goes on down and it says, "who have been chosen." And then it says, "through the sanctifying work of the Spirit." We see in this scripture, we saw that God already knew about our calling through His, it says, through His foreknowledge. And we know that we were called to obedience to Jesus Christ. But who actually called us? Who sets us on the job? Who helps us get trained and ready for work? Who's our sarge? Who's the one who brings us through the ropes? Teaches us how to make it, what to do. That's done through, it says, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to look at today is exactly how the Holy Spirit is going to help us fulfill our calling, our purpose, our destiny. How, you know, He's the one who was there at the beginning, and He's the one who's going to help us now as we walk in this calling. So the first thing we need to know is that without the Holy Spirit, we could never, ever fulfill the purpose that God has ordained for our life. It isn't going to happen without the Holy Spirit. Anytime when we talk about us touching heaven, heaven touching us, God working in us, God working through us, wherever we meet heaven, however that happens, through knowledge coming to us, words, word of wisdom, prophetic knowledge, any of these kind of things that go on, it's always the Holy Spirit is the intermediary. He's the one who's there that God is using to work in us. He's the one who first called us. He's the one who's working in us now. Sort of goes back to what happened in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, or 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there just waiting. Waiting, hovering over the Spirit, over the waters, over the darkness, over the emptiness, the void, the formlessness of earth. The Holy Spirit just waiting. Waiting for the Word to be spoken. Waiting for God to set things in motion, for the Word to be spoken, then the Holy Spirit would begin to do work. And it was like that, and it is like that, in our lives. Before we were saved, we were formless, we were empty, and in the dark. And there's still a lot of people like that right now. And the Holy Spirit was just waiting to begin His work in us. Hovering, waiting, sort of like. Waiting to work in us, to begin to do this sanctification, this changing, renewing, rebuilding, making us into a Christ-like person. Waiting for us to accept the call and enter into the service of our Lord. It's sort of like what happened back in Genesis 2:7, where it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Psalm 104, verse 30, when you send your Spirit, they are created. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. It's the same Holy Spirit that gave life to Jesus after He was crucified and died and came back to life. Romans 8:11 says that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings life to us, spiritual life. He's the one who's working in us. He's the one who's doing all this work, this sanctification, this amazing work that God wants to do in us. And when we accept the call, when we enter into His service, then the Holy Spirit begins to do His job, because we've let Him in. And the same Holy Spirit who brought light and life to the world now wants to bring it to us. And so what I want to do is look at a few of the ways that the Holy Spirit actually works in our life. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In the natural, there is absolutely no way that we could ever figure out the reason that God created us. We would be totally, completely lost, as so many people still are in the world today, who run around saying, why are we here? Or there's no purpose in life. Or we're just accidents. Or after we die, there's nothing. We just disappear. We're gone. How could we know God's intentions for us, His purpose for us? How could we know? We couldn't even begin to understand what God had in store for us, why He put us here, what we're capable of, where we're going. There's so many things that we wouldn't have a clue if the Holy Spirit wasn't here. It's the Holy Spirit who first opens up our eyes to the fact that there really is a God. When you first began to seek God, when you first had this feeling of, you know, desiring God, when you first began to recognize that there was sin in your life and you needed a Savior, that you needed God, that you needed Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit that was doing that, bringing conviction to you, revealing God to you, putting a longing inside of you. He's the one who made us or helped us to understand that God is real, that He knows who we are. It's the Holy Spirit who first alerts us to the call of God upon our life. He's the one who shows us that we have value. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us that we have worth, that we are unique, that we are a special, unique creation of God. He's constantly trying to help us understand that we have value in God's eyes. That's where our real value comes from. Not because we have a lot of friends, not because we have a lot of money, or not because we have no friends or no money or no position or no power or all kinds of power. It doesn't matter. If we have a little, a lot, none, or an overabundance, it doesn't matter. We have worth, we have value because God made us. Because God loves us. Because God wants us. You know, they say, how much is a house worth? How much is a valuable coin worth? How much is a piece of art worth? You know what it's worth? What somebody's willing to pay for it. That's how much something is worth. Not just what a book says, it's what someone is willing to pay for it. Well, I'll tell you, you know what God was willing to pay for you? His Son. We have worth because God deemed us worthy, because God paid a dear price for us. He showed us that we are loved with a love that knows no end. Just like that song we sang, your love, it knows no end. There's no end to God's love for us. It's there and it's real. He shows us that God has a plan and a destiny for our life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings it out. He unfolds it. The Holy Spirit gives us insight into all that God has given us and into the many ways that God has blessed us. And we find out in John 14:26, that the Holy Spirit is like our own private tutor. He's like our own mentor. It tells us, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. That's what a tutor does. That's what a mentor does. He will teach you all things. The who? The Holy Spirit. That's who God has here as our teacher. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that good, Bob, that he reminds us? Bob and I are always joking about how neither one of us have a memory. That's right. The only reason I remember is because I have it written down. So he helps all of us when we have these memory problems. He reminds us of the Word. We read God's Word and we think, man, I'm never going to be able to remember all this. I'm terrible at, you know, quoting and remembering, you know, book and chapter and verse. I am. I'm terrible at remembering specific chapter and verse. I remember the Word. I remember the Scripture. And I definitely understand the principles. But I know quite a few, but I don't know them all. I wish I knew a lot more. I just don't remember the Word. I can find them fast. I can quote them, but when it comes to the name of Scripture, chapter and verse, I can't remember them all the time. It bugs me, but it's just the way it is. And so we start studying and we start reading, young or old, it doesn't matter. And we think, man, how am I going to remember all this? Well, I've got good news, because the Holy Spirit, He does remember every chapter, every verse, every word. He knows all of it, every bit of it. He knows it by heart. He was the one, according to the Scriptures, it tells us, He was the one who led certain men along as they wrote the Bible. They wrote the Scriptures. These guys that wrote the Bible, they didn't just decide to just, oh, I think I'm going to write a story. I think I'm going to write a letter. I think I'm going to write some Psalms. It was the Holy Spirit who was in them, who directed them to what to write, word for word. They were called what we call inspired of God to write the Bible. That's why we say Word of God is inspired, that it's true, that it's the authority, it's the word that we want. So, because He knows every single word, He can remind us whenever we need it. In fact, we're told explicitly not to worry about what to say beforehand. We'll find ourselves in certain situations, and God is saying, don't worry beforehand. Don't get all nervous. Don't get all, worked up. Don't break out in a sweat, because I don't think I'm going to remember what to say. I'm not going to know that exact scripture. I'm not going to, if we just, instead of spending all that time worrying, if we just spend some time getting close to God and listening to hear the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we can hear that, He'll just bring all these things to our remembrance. They'll just start coming out of our mouth, and we'll say afterwards, man, where did I get all that? It happens all the time. We start saying all these scriptures, and we start explaining them, and we think, I didn't think I had it in me. Well, we didn't. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit we had in us who brought it out. We most likely heard it, and we maybe read it ourselves. But it was somewhere buried back in there on our hard drive inside of our mind. And we thought we had already erased it, We'd already gotten rid of it, and here it was right back in there. Here's the key. Even though the Holy Spirit knows every word of the Bible, and even though the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and He does. It told us right in that scripture we read. And the Holy Spirit knows all God's plans and purposes for us. Here's the deal. If we don't take the time to develop our spiritual ears and learn how to hear the Holy Spirit and learn how to be led by Him, then how good is it going to be? How good can He work through us if we don't allow Him to lead us, if we don't hear His voice? If I have $1 million in the bank, but I never use it to make my car payment, what good is it? One day I'm going to go outside and I'm going to see a big tow truck coming, pulling my car away. It's going to be repossessed. And I don't want my car repossessed. And I don't want to be repossessed by anything, this world or anything else. God has given every one of us a multitude of gifts. He's given us all kinds of giftings, abilities to serve one another, to serve God, and to be blessed in our own life. But if we don't know that we have them, if we don't know what to do with them, what good are they? And so, if we don't hear the Spirit of God, if we can't hear His voice, we may never know when to use a gift that we don't even know we have. We may never step out and do these things that God has planned for us, these works that were prepared ahead of time. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. for their foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why people of the world think that Christians are nuts. Because they honestly do not see the world as we do. They do not understand the world as we do. They don't see it through God's eyes, through the eyes of God's Word, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And so they have no clue of God's plans for the world. None whatsoever. That's why it's our job to spread the word, to help them see through the eyes of God, to help them introduce them to Christ. And when we do that, we've given someone else then the ability to see, and we've created an ally, another person who can serve in the kingdom of God, another person who's going to get to heaven. But it's different for us because if we understand the Holy Spirit, when we understand that He's here to help us, then He helps us run our race so that we can fulfill God's plan for our life. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says that we have received the Spirit who is from God that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, the Holy Spirit is there to help us know what we got so we can do God's will, so we can accomplish His purposes, so we can walk in our destiny. We have a Creator that made us. When He made us for a purpose, for a reason. When somebody paints a picture, they paint that picture so that it can be displayed. Somebody writes a song, they write the song so other people can hear it. Somebody writes a book, they do it so people can read it. When God created us, He created us for a purpose. And we're not supposed to be hidden away in some vault, not closed up in our little four walls and never let anyone else see us or know about us or hear us. We're supposed to speak the truth that we have. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. The world can't do that because they're not hearing the voice of God. They're not standing on His authority. So they don't have the right standard, or maybe even any standard. That's why we have shifting values in our society, shifting standards of what is right and wrong. And that's why they might call evil good and good evil. That's why Christianity is such an important part of our society. Without a moral code to live by, society will slowly disintegrate. And we're actually seeing it to some degree, actually to a pretty good degree, over the last 50 years or so. We're seeing our society, our values, our morals slowly crumbling. Why? Because God is being removed systematically from our society, from our schools, from our institutions, from our public way of life, and our government, our liberal leaders, our progressive society, progressive elites want to go forward without God, without our Constitution, without our founding principles. They want to leave all that behind and take us to some new utopia that will drive us into the ground and destroy us. Without a moral code to live by, society will disintegrate. We can't depend on the government. We can't depend on laws. We can't depend on the police to make people behave. They come after the fact. There can't always be there. What we need is a moral compass inside of people. That's how a society prospers, when people within that society are decent and good. When they have a desire to do what is right, to help others, to serve others. That's what the Bible teaches. Our society instead is teaching take what you want for yourself get whatever you can. We're all victims, and we need the government to take care of our every need. That's not what's right. That's not what's good. And that's not what's going to help build this nation. It's not what's going to help build our communities, our families, our own life. It's going to destroy us. Originally, all of our laws were based on biblical truth. And our principles were based on biblical truth. But since more and more people are rejecting the Bible, and many of those same people then are rejecting the very laws and principles that were put into our society to help govern us, now they're throwing them out because they look like or remind them of the Bible. And instead, we find more and more people living according to our sinful nature, which is in every one of us. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 3, says, "For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, because if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Tucked in that section of Scripture in verse 6, I like this one little part in there. I like it all. But there's one part in there. It tells us that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I just want peace. I just want peace in my life. I just want to have more life. I want more abundant life. Well, that is God's plan for your life. He wants you to be filled with life. He wants you to have an inner peace that passes all understanding. And once again, it's the Holy Spirit who makes it possible. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. When we allow Him to have access to our mind, to our thought life, when we, follow His leading, we're following the leading of God. We're following His Word. We're following what is true and right and just. And then there'll be peace in our hearts. And we'll be a blessing to ourselves, to our family, to our society, and to our God. If we're going to accept God's call and follow Him and follow His plan, another thing that we need to do is go back and get instructions. We call it prayer. Once again, the Holy Spirit helps us there. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." That's good to know. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know how, and He also intercedes for us. He prays for us in accordance with God's will. He's praying for us that we do what God wants us to do. He's praying for us that we understand what God wants us to do. Another area that is so important in our relationship with God and that helps us be able to walk close to Him, to walk in our plan for life, in God's plan for our life, in our destiny, is worship. And once again, we find the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's absolutely necessary if we want to be true worshipers. John 4:23 says, "Yet a time is coming and is now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. If there is any place that we need to be led by the Spirit of God, worship is certainly one of them. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us into the Holy of Holies. Only the Holy Spirit can take us and help us to go beyond this flesh and get into the presence of God and meet him. Fellowship with him. Worship him. He helps us to get beyond our carnal thoughts, our busy minds that drive us crazy and try to overtake us. He brings us to this place where we have this life and peace, remember, that we talked about. He brings us to this place where we just can enter into this worship like we did this morning and meet God. He loves, the Holy Spirit loves to introduce people to God, to reintroduce people to God, to restore relationship with God, to draw us closer to God. Everything about the Holy Spirit is always to lift up the name of Jesus, to restore relationship to our Lord, to bring us closer to God. That's what he does. That's what he lives for. That's why he's here, to help us. I will send you a helper. I will send you a counselor. He's our friend. He's somebody that we need desperately in our life to help us live for Christ. Worship needs to be a natural part of every Christian's life. It's like stress relief. It takes away the worry, the pain of everyday life. Brings us into God's presence, and it's better than taking aspirin or getting a massage or sitting in an easy chair or any of those kind of things. When we enter into worship, God can work in us, and he can relieve the pressure of life. He can do amazing things inside of us if we let him. And the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to take us into that holy place. He'll do it. He wants to do it. So if I could have the prayer team come forward, I'm going to close now. Probably get back to this a little bit next week. Since we've accepted this call from God to follow his plan for our life, we have to continually realize over and over, we have to continually remember, recognize that we need the Holy Spirit. If we're going to follow his call, if we're going to accept that call, if we're going to follow his plan, we need to constantly get back to that place where the Holy Spirit is there for us and where we recognize it and welcome him in. He'll lead us. He'll guide us right along that path that God has marked out for us. He'll take our hand and run with us when we run the race. He'll stand next to us right in our corner when we're fighting the good fight and encourage us. He'll wipe the sweat off our brow and give us that refreshing drink of water that we need, except it'll be spiritual when we're fighting that fight. You think of every analogy and the Holy Spirit will be there in all those situations because he's our helper. He's our counselor. When we get lost, he'll be the one that points the direction. When we've fallen down, he'll help us up. We got to help her. And I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit, if we allow Him, will take us on a pretty exciting trip. It can be fun. I was actually looking at a video last night of something our family did all the way back in, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. We went on a whitewater rafting trip down the Colorado River to the Grand Canyon. And we'd been talking about maybe doing it again. And so I was looking at some videos of it that are on this site. And it looks exciting. And I was thinking about how, you know, when you get on a raft or you're on a log or whatever it is that's floating down that river, you pretty much, once you're on the river and you're going in the current, you don't go back. You know, you go with the flow. And, you know, you accept the invitation to come into that. And you get on it, and it might be a little scary. And you might think, what did I get into? But I'll tell you what, you end up having the ride of your life. And you have a good time. And when it's all done, you know you've really gone through something. And that's how it is when we allow ourselves to jump into the rapids with the Holy Spirit. And we say, you know what, I'm getting on board, and I wanna go for a ride with the Holy Spirit. Let Him take you on a ride. And the only way it's going to happen is if you commit to it. You have to get into the raft. You have to get into the boat. You have to get into the will of God. Get on that path and allow the Holy Spirit to start moving you and taking you down that river. And it'll be fun. So let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You so much that You have called us. We thank You that You brought us into Your family, that You've given us a purpose, that You've given us a destiny, that You've called us out of the darkness and brought us into Your light. We thank You that You've rescued us, that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us, to forgive our sins. We thank You for these and so many other things, Lord God. And we just pray right now, Lord, I pray that every person that is hearing this message, Lord God, will just have their strength renewed, their resolve renewed, that we will look to the Holy Spirit as our guide, as our counselor, as someone who can help lead us as we enter into the service of our Lord and Savior. And as we go along this path, go along this ride, go for this ride, this exciting ride that You've called us to, that You've brought us to. We thank You, Lord God, that You have called us. And we just turn ourselves over to You, Lord. We give ourselves into Your service. We thank You. We give it all to You, Lord God. We give You all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.